at scene of angels in 1 Timothy 3:16. Let us begin reading with verse 14 and read these three verses to the end of the chapter. 1 Timothy 3:14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. He said, I'm going to go ahead and write this letter to you and get it in the mail, but I'm hoping to come and see you in person. But if I tarry long, he said, these things are too important for you not to hear. And if I don't get there in person, I do want you to start considering these things. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. That's not talking about going to church. That's not talking about being in a building that we call the church. The church are the people that come to meet in that building. The church is an organism, not an organization. So now that you've been invited into being a part of Christ, this is how you need to learn to walk. That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to walk, to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy. This is a thing that I want you to know without any controversy, and you are responsible as a Christian, every Christian, not called of God, pastors or preachers or deacons or whatever, but every born-again believer is part of the pillar, the support, and the ground of the truth. And here is that which he says we need to contend for. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What is the mystery of godliness? It's the whole embodiment of the revelation of Jesus Christ in his spiritual kingdom. He says, my words are spirit and they are life. So we must come to understand the things in the spirit as we walk before God. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Number one, first thing, God was manifest in the flesh. That's the incarnation. And without that, you cannot have what our lesson is about today. He must have first of all been manifest in the flesh for him to be seen of angels. That's our lesson title, seen of angels, 1 Timothy 3:16. Third thing, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So we want to see how it is that he says that it was a great mystery for God to first of all have to be made flesh and dwell among us for the angels to see him. Did you realize, I admit to you, I didn't fully realize that the angels had not been able to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ until he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Look at Luke chapter 2. And Luke 2:10, and the angel said unto them, that the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This is an angel talking. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Notice verse number 12, ye shall find the babe wrapped in strips of cloth. They didn't have a suit, a little one, what do the ladies call it, a onesie for the baby to put on. They had cloth, and they wrapped it around the baby, swaddling clothes. And in verse 12, ye shall find the babe lying in a manger. Result, verse 13, and suddenly, because of that, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. So as soon as there was the announcing of the birth of God, and that God became flesh, the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. Next thing was, he was seen of angels. So these angels crowded around to look and see the babe in a manger. So we understand and see then, dear soul, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 17, 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, next word, invisible. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9. The last word in Colossians 2, 8 is Christ. So that's who we're talking about. Christ, verse 9. For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, how many persons are there in the Trinity? Well, if it's a Trinity, there are three. All right. So there are three persons in the Trinity. Name them. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, according to Colossians 2:9, which of the three had a body? Not the Father, not the Holy Spirit, but God the Son. Now, since God the Father and the Spirit and the Son are all one, the Father and the Son was manifest in the body of the Lord Jesus. But the eternal Son of God was the only one that received a body. That holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. She said, I know not a man. He said, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee, and God shall form himself a body in your womb, Mary, and this will be the eternal Son of God coming to dwell in a physical body. Colossians 2:9, don't ever forget it. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in his body. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse number 9, I hope. John 14:9. Jesus saith unto Philip, let me go back up to verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. We'll be satisfied if you'll show us the Father. Listen at Jesus' answer in John 14:9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Wait a minute. Philip didn't ask him to show himself. He said, show us the Father. But Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and you had not known me? Hadn't you seen me? So you asking for me to show you the Father? Look at me. John 14:9. I lost my place. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Listen, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Go back to verse number 1 of John chapter 14, which you are undoubtedly going to hear every time you go to a funeral. The preacher or the speaker, whoever he is usually bound to start reading in this passage. But listen at verse number 1. This is Jesus talking to the Jews. And we see that this is the first time that God had a body. And they're saying to him, he is saying to them, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In the same way that you Jews have believed in Elohim, and you have believed in God the Father throughout 4,000 years of human history. Now you can believe in me in that same way because I and the Father are one. If you believe in God, it's okay now to believe in me. My goodness, what do we want to see next? I'm trying to follow the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse number 6. Let's read verse 5. Hebrews 2, 5 and 6. For unto which of the angels said he, did God say at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? None of them. None of the angels were God's son. He did not beget the angels. He created them by word of his mouth. And again, did ever God say to an angel, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son? Answer, no. Verse 6, Hebrews 2. No, I'm sorry. Did I say 2? This is Hebrews chapter 1. Sorry, folks. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world. Now listen. When God brought Jesus Christ into the world, what did he say unto the angels? And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, quote, in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 43, let all the angels of God worship him. You remember when John fell on his face before an angel in Revelation 22? And the Revelation 22:9, the angel says to John, don't do that. You may be amazed at me as a celestial being, and you, one who is a human being made of the dust of the earth, and you're just overcome by seeing me in my glorious being, but I'm not God. You shouldn't worship me. So the angel is saying, don't worship me. But in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 6, God tells the angels when he brings the firstborn into the world, this is my beloved son, worship him. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. That must have been when God said this. Let all the angels of God worship my only begotten son. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 6, 16. I'm getting used to some new glasses, so I'm having to kind of adjust to them. They got bifocals on them, so just bear with me. 1 Timothy 6, 16, talking about Jesus Christ, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Of his own glorious being, a human being cannot stand in that presence. The light is so glorious, it will not allow you to stand in his presence. Example, Saul of Tarsus, riding on his mule, going to Damascus to murder Christians. Jesus Christ appears unto him, and he tells his story in his letters. He said, listen, suddenly there was a light brighter than the noonday sun. Everybody with me saw that light. It knocked me off my high horse. It put me on the ground. It blinded my eyes. And all I heard was a voice. That was the Son of God manifesting himself in his glory. He was already back with the Father to a sinner. And it destroyed him physically. If God had not sustained Saul of Tarsus, it would have killed him. But he had some to lead him down on into a street called Straight, and sent his servant over there to lay hands on him and pray for him and tell him to receive his sight. You can't stand in the presence of eternal glory apart from the mediatorship of Jesus Christ. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what he said. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 2. He dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. What about angels? Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 2. We're getting there. I'm getting used to these glasses. Isaiah chapter 6, we'll read 1 and 2. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw, very important word, also the Lord. In other words, he had been focusing on King Uzziah, who was a glorious man. But there was something God wanted this prophet to see that changed him from being a Sunday school student to being a prophet of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, dear soul, your King Uzziah is going to have to die for God to attain the glory that he demands for you. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, his glory, filled the temple. Now listen. Above it stood the seraphim. Now folks, you try to study that word out and you're going to be amazed at how much we don't know about seraphim. But we just know that they were a higher degree of celestial beings, higher than the word angels. There were angels, cherubim, and seraphim. The seraphim, one of the highest order of the celestial beings, stood in the presence of God. But listen, Isaiah 6, 2. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. He had three sets of two wings each. Listen. With twain, that is two, he did what? First thing, he covered his face. He can't look on God. He can't stand in the glory. We read you in 1 Timothy 6:16, he dwells in the glory that no man can approach unto. Even the angels that were created to stand in the presence of God couldn't stand in the presence of God for the glory, and they shielded their face from him. So they still haven't seen him. They're covering up their face. And with twain he covered his feet. I'm amazed that people at church, mostly women, when they sit down on the pew, they put their feet back up under the bench. Because we think our feet ought not to be seen. It's a more less comely part, Paul says. With twain he covered his feet. And with the last two, he flew. That's how he reserved at one-third of his wing power to accomplish the will of God. But every time he got near the presence of God, he had to cover his face because he could not look upon God. So we're seeing and saying that the angels did not have opportunity to look upon God because he was not manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. Number one, God manifest in the flesh in order that he might be, number two, seen of angels. That's what we need to see. How did people know him back then? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. What did we say God was? Invisible. Immortal. Invisible. The only wise God. All right. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him, by means of the creation of the world, are clearly seen. I read that more in the Amplified Version, which brings it out clearer than the King James. For the invisible things of God, by means of the creation of the world, are clearly seen. What do you mean? You can't look upon God. He's too glorious. But the heavens declare the glory of God. Have you ever seen a sky at night with the reds and purples and all of that? And you think, my, what a glorious Savior we have. Have you ever seen on a pure, clear day the blueness of the sky and how deep it goes and wonder, where is the end of that blue? Have you ever seen the puffy clouds float by like cotton candy and wonder, how in the world are they formed? The heavens declare the glory of God. You're seeing that which is invisible. For the invisible things of Him, by means of the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. How much can we see of God by the things that are made? Even His eternal power and even His Godhead. Listen, what does that do? It renders all men without exception to be without excuse. You say, well, I had a vacation. Where'd you go? Well, we went out to the Grand Canyon. What'd you see? Well, we saw that a lot of erosions, really. A lot of erosions. It's just all the colors and everything that we saw. It was amazing to see it all. And now that you've seen it, are you any different? Well, it had an effect upon me. When I saw it, I was moved by the majesty of it. But you know what it did? It renders you inexcusable. You have seen this, whatever it be in nature, by means of the things that are made, it renders you inexcusable for not knowing God. Seeing nature may cause you some emotional experiences, but it will not bring salvation to your soul. Only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, applied by the Holy Spirit, can do that. But it will. It is of such great power that it renders you inexcusable. We must come to God by faith, dear soul. Hebrews, again. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Now faith is the confidence. Faith is the assurance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I am to see God, and the Bible said, he that seeth the Son and believeth on him have life. You say, well, I'm 2,000 years plus beyond when Jesus of Nazareth lived. I can't see him physically. And dear soul, you're not going to be able to have God show himself to you in a physical way today by some dream or whatever. How do we see God? Faith is the substance, the assurance, the evidence of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. You see God by faith. Verse 6, Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must, number one, believe that he is, and number two, believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You say, well, I'm a newborn believer. I'm a newborn Christian. Well, what is it that causes you disturbance that you might not be? Sometimes I don't feel like I really know God. It is not by your feelings. It is by your faith. And it's not by the faith that you drummed up and you say, well, I'm going to believe in God. Faith is a gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. It is a spiritual grace that God gives to people who are in trespasses and sins and dead in trespasses and sins and don't know God. And God grants them faith and repentance at the same time, and suddenly they know God. That's called being born again. That's a spiritual birth. So we see, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And if you believe that he is, you believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15 says, "And we know if our prayer is heard, we shall receive the things that we ask for." You believe your prayer is heard? Then have faith to wait on the Lord for him to grant it at the time and place when it is most glorifying to himself. And look at verse number 27 of Hebrews chapter 11. We don't want to leave this chapter without picking up this verse. We're talking about Moses, verse 24. By faith, Moses. Drop down to verse 27. By faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. How? Same way you will endure. As seeing him who is invisible. Invisible, immortal, the only wise God. How do you see God? By faith. When could the angels see God? Not until he was, number one, manifest in the flesh. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with that one angel a multitude of the heavenly host, crowding and wanting to look and see on the face of God for the very first time, for they had never seen God before. And so we understand, dear soul, that that's the way that the apostle was talking here, John chapter 6 and verse 46. The apostle was talking here to Timothy and saying, these are the things that you must believe and support as a pillar, and these are those things that you must support and believe and stand on as the ground of the truth. And these are the things that I want you to know. I'm going to go ahead and write you this letter and get you started in this in case I don't get there. Something hinders me from coming to see you. John chapter 6 and verse 46. Not that any man has seen the Father, save or except. Let's put the word except in there. Not that any man has seen the Father except he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Who is he which is of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. He who is of God, he hath seen the Father. Let's go back to John chapter 14 and read on down a little bit more after verse number 9. John 14, verse number 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So let not your heart be troubled. You have believed in God, all you Jews, for all these thousands of years. It's okay for you to believe in me. The Father has told the angel when I came into the angels, when I came into the world, this is my beloved Son, worship him. It's okay for you to worship this human being. Heretofore, you have not been allowed to do that. But heretofore, we have not seen God manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifests in the flesh. Second thing, now he can be seen of angels. So if you see me, angels are humans, you have seen the Father, and it is all right. And in fact, it is required of you to worship me. Let me read you some verses. You don't mind that, do you? John chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. John 1, 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You look that phrase up, it means he has brought him out into the open to where he can be seen. No man has seen God at any time. You say, well, my granny's in heaven. She's standing there looking at God. If you're talking about God the Father, you're wrong. She ain't. She's not. The only one you're going to see in heaven that you're going to call God is the glorified person of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 5 and verse 37. John chapter 5 and verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You need to take that verse back over into the book of Exodus, I believe it is, where it says, Moses and all the elders went up on the mountain and they saw God. And they had a meal with him. Well, they didn't see God, according to this verse, unless they saw a manifestation of the humanity of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Colossians 2:9. For in Christ alone dwelleth all the fullness of God bodily. The Holy Spirit is in the body of Christ. God the Father is seen in the body of Christ. The eternal Son of God is incarnate in the body of Jesus Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 12. No man has seen God at any time. You don't need Dr. Bottle Stopper to preach that to you. It just says what it says. And you understand it. No man, 1 John 4:12, hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. Because God is dwelling in us by his Spirit, and to offend one of these little ones is to offend me. It's a spiritual thing, dear soul. That's what he's talking about. Go back to the front of your Bible. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 12. Deuteronomy 4:12. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only ye heard a voice. What do you mean, similitude? It's the same word, likeness, in Deuteronomy 4:23. You go down to verse 23 and see that word likeness. It's the same word. But saw no likeness. It's the same word image in Job chapter 4 and verse 16. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no image, but saw no likeness, but saw no similitude. Are you familiar with the word similarity? You say, yeah. Well, this is similar to that. That's what the word similitude is talking about. This form is like that form. But he said, ye saw no similitude, no likeness, no image, only you heard a voice. Drop down to verse 15, Deuteronomy 4:15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude, no likeness, no image, on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves. And have we not done that? Well, my little daughter, my little son reached to be to the age of 12. So I gave him a Bible. And it's a children's Bible. And it helps him because it's got pictures of Jesus. Don't do that. Don't do that. He will think Jesus is just Buffalo Bill without his guns. Or Wild Bill Hickok with it. Listen, you're not to come to God by sight. You're to come to God by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is by faith. Through faith we understand. That's how we come to evidence things unseen. So he says, don't make any kind of image. You didn't see anything of any image when God manifested himself to you. He manifested himself through his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The angels did not have an appearance of God until Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and then suddenly there was with an angel a multitude that wanted to look on the face of God for the very first time. Listen, verse 15, Deuteronomy 4. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude, no manner of likeness or image, on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves. Get rid of your pictures and statues of Jesus. They are forbidden. God said, don't do that. It will corrupt yourself. You got a necklace around your neck with a dead God on a cross? Get rid of it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Dear soul, we come to God by faith. This nation is corrupted. Well, the main reason is because the love of money is the root of all evil. But secondly, because they have an image of God, Santa Claus at Christmas, babe in a manger at Christmas, dead man on a cross at Easter. We're a mess. We need to cry out to God that please manifest yourself to my little ones by the gift of faith. Please help me not to gravitate from the vision of faith, not the vision of an imagination, but faith evidences things not seen. Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth upon the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. Unless thou lift up thine heart, thine eyes unto heaven, when thou seest the sun, the moon, the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. You can't worship the sun, moon, and stars. You can't worship horses or fish or cows or donkeys or eagles or anything. Don't picture God through a natural similarity or image. How do you know God? How do you picture God? By faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And that faith will always be given forth by and will anchor itself upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear soul, when Noah left those birds out of the ark, they flew out of the ark, flew around for a while, and then they came back to the ark. That's like faith. Faith is issued by Jesus Christ. And dear soul, no matter where you are in the world, it will always anchor itself back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith is that which will gain you eternal glory. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Finish that verse. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And faith is that which evidences the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we showed you in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 2 that the seraphim covered their face with one-third of their wing power. So even though God was manifesting himself in his glory, they covered up their face because they couldn't stand it. It's a light that no man can approach unto. Now go with me to the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 1. God is coming to Ezekiel through a whirlwind. In chapter 1 and verse 4, "And behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, out of the midst thereof as the color of amber." Amber is the color of God's glory. "Out of the midst of the fire." All right, drop on down to verse number 21. Okay, 20. Ezekiel 1:20. "Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went," these creatures. "Thither was their spirit to go. The wheels were lifted up over against them, and the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels." This is the life of God and the soul of man. "When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels." Don't worry about all that. We don't have time to get into all that. Stay with me. Ezekiel 1:22. "And the likeness of the firmament," the expanse, "upon the heads of the living creatures, of the living creature, was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above." I want you to understand this. Whoever these are, we ain't got time to get into it. I have got into it in other messages. Those have been with me for a long time. You understand and know what I'm talking about. Those of you that hadn't, stick with me. Listen. These creatures had a pavement over their heads. They were in the sub-basement. There was something in the pavement over their heads. Verse 22, okay? Now, drop down to verse number 25. Ezekiel 1:25. "And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads." We read you also that God said there was no matter of similitude in Deuteronomy chapter 4 from the fire. You heard a voice, but you didn't see nothing. Same thing here. You're going to hear a voice, but you're not going to see anything. This is over your heads. And dear soul, trying to see the glory of God, we are in over our heads. The angels especially are. But they only got to see the Lord for the first time after he was manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. Number one, God was manifest in the flesh. Result, seen of angels. Here we have it. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 25. "And there was a voice from the firmament that was over the angels' heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads," listen, "was the likeness of a throne." Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. "Come up hither." Where? "Come on up to the pavement. And I looked and I saw a throne and one sat on it." Listen. Ezekiel 1:26. "And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it." They couldn't see it. They're not going to be able to be said to be seen of angels until he was manifest in the flesh. Back here, they were under it. They could look up to it and they could see the sapphire pavement. It was like the glory of God, and there was on the pavement a throne. And on the throne was the likeness of a man. Couldn't make it out. It's too glorious. With twain they covered their faces. Twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. So they can't see it. He is not manifest unto angels as yet. Dear soul, so this is why, and if you did not listen to Brother Mike's lesson last week on Satan, you have done your soul a disservice. He brought it out so clear. I was refreshed and instructed and edified by that lesson. In fact, you need to listen to all of Brother Mike's lessons. They're very beneficial. This is why it was at this time that angel, if you'll be turning to Isaiah chapter 14, became the devil. Why? Because they couldn't see God. He said, I'm tired of this stuff. I am visible. I am glorious. There was nothing as beautiful as that angel was. We're going to call him Lucifer. And dear soul, Brother Mike brought it out, he became Satan. The angel that was the most glorious being of all said, we can't see anything. We need somebody to look to physically. And that's what's happening in America today. We're going to be in a mess, dear soul, and we already are, but we're going to be in a worse mess because we're looking for a man and not for God to lead us. And he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Understand, God is on a pavement above their heads, on a throne that is above their heads. And there is the likeness of a form of a man that they can't make out. He's too glorious, dwelling in a light that they can't approach unto. So here comes a guy, just says, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm the most beautiful of all of you. I'm the most powerful of all of you. He probably was an archangel. I can't prove that. Don't mess with it. Leave it alone. Don't worry about it. Don't argue about it. But he was some kind of glorious being above all the other angels. Listen. In Isaiah 14 and verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And it talks about the morning stars sang together at the creation of the world. I believe it's Psalm 148. You can look it up. So he's called son of the morning. He was a son because God created him, not a son because God beget him. The human beings receive life by God bending over them and breathing into their nostrils his breath. But the angels had no such personal connection with God in their creation. He just spoke and they existed. Tens of billions of angels, just like that. And so we see, he says, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, God is saying, this is what the angel said that made him be the devil. You need to watch this. There are two words that show up constantly in this. I will. Don't ever say, I will. Be careful. Those are the angel's words that made him to be the devil. But Brother Gene, what do we say? God willing, I will. You can't say, James said, I'm going to go into the city and I'm going to buy and sell and make money. He said, what you need to do is say, God willing, I'm going into the city and into the market and buy and sell. Read your Bible, book of James. Verse number 13, Isaiah chapter 14. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'm going to go up there where that throne is. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God are the other angels. I'm going to set my throne above all the other angels. I will, that's the third time we've heard I will, sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Fourth time, verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Watch it. I will be like the Most High. Y'all need something visible to look at. Y'all need somebody that has texture, has form. You don't need to have faith in God. That's too iffy. I'm going to do this. There's nobody can take care of this thing but me. And I am rich in glory, and I am rich And I don't need anything from anybody. I'll handle this myself. And he became the devil. And he said, I will be like the Most High. But dear soul, that happened in a time when God was not yet manifest in the flesh. There's a lot of stuff going on in this world, not just in America, but in the world, because Jesus Christ is not believed upon. But he will suddenly come, and he will destroy them with the brightness of his coming, and Jesus Christ will appear as you saw him go away. This same Jesus whom you saw go away. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I think it is. He shall so come in like manner. And when his visible appearance comes and establishes his glory for eternity, everybody outside of Christ that has been hypocriting and has just been going through the motions of religion are going to be in a heap of trouble. They're going to be caught red-handed, as they used to say. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Listen to Isaiah 14:15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. That's what God is saying to the devil. That's what King Jesus is doing by his gospel, calling people out and destroying him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:14-15. God is secretly calling them out, but he's going to come and going to face the devil and make the devil and all of the hypocrites in religion in this world have to give an account of themselves and going to cast them down into the pit. It said the beast, the false prophet, and the whore are going to be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. That's why the devil chose that time to call himself God. In Matthew chapter 4, he appears to Jesus Christ as if he's God. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Matthew 4:8. How are we doing on time? Oh my goodness, we're running short. Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And the devil saith unto Jesus, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship thee. The devil said, all this is mine. He took the scepter out of Adam's hand and Adam was cast out of the garden and lost fellowship with Adam. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4 said the devil became the god of this world. And he was ruling and reigning until God was manifest in the flesh. Great mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. It changed everything. But the devil thought that he owned the world and ruled over everything. But he didn't. And dear soul, the devil is trying to tempt you and offer you things. Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. He that loveth the things of the world hath not the love of the Father in him. Look at Congress, look at White House, look at House of Representatives, look at your mayor, look at your officials, and then look at religion. Look at the preachers, look at the deacons, look at humankind in general. And understand and see that most of that which says they are Christians are not, because God said, they that have the love of the things of the world hath not the love of the Father in them. You do not know that many true Christians. You may know a lot of religionists and a lot of church members, but the way is narrow, the gate is straight, and few there be that find it, and broad is the way, and wide is the gate, and many there be that go in thereat. Dear soul, you don't know that many true Christians. This is what the devil is doing. He's saying, I'm the God of this world, I'll give you this. And people are being lured into it. Let's finish our lesson in Hebrews, chapter number 1. And dear soul, has it dawned on you yet that the first two chapters of the book of Hebrews is all about angels? Why did the apostle write so much about angels? Because it was in angels, excuse me. Thank you for the water. That the deception first came. Since there is no visibility of God, it's dimly seen above the pavement. There's a throne up there, and on the throne is the image of a man. So I'm going to be like the most. Y'all follow me. And one third of the angelic forces followed him and became demons. So the apostle writes two chapters, giving you an understanding of the difference between the headship of the true church, Jesus Christ, and the headship of the harlot church, Satan himself, and compares angels with the only begotten Son of God. You need to study the first two chapters of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, we read you verse 4 through 6. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. They didn't inherit because they were not begotten of God. Jesus Christ inherited everything that was of God because he was begotten of God. Verse 5, there's that question. To which of the angels did he say, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? None. And again, what did he say to the angels? I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. No. And again, when he bringeth the firstborn into the world, he saith to all the angels, worship him. I know Satan, I know Lucifer has drawn you to him and said, I'll be like the Most High. I'll be the visibility that you can follow. And he says, he's not authorized by God. Jesus Christ, the Son, is authorized by God. Now, where were we? Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? None of them. Verse 14. Well, what is the purpose of angels? Hebrews 1:14. Are they, the angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels are sent forth to comfort and strengthen and help and to aid the people of God. But the devil said, I ain't going to have nothing to do with these people made out of dirt. And he became the devil. Look at chapter 2, verse number 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come. The world to come was a Hebrew phrase that talked about the Messiah's kingdom. He did not put the Messiah's kingdom under the authority of angels. In the book of Acts, at the beginning of the book of Acts, you have angels involved, letting Peter out of prison, doing stirring the waters and letting people be healed and so forth. But they're so unbelievably and without notice, they begin to disappear off the pages of the book of Acts. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one that's supposed to be looked to, not angels. Verse 5, Hebrews 2. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the messianic kingdom whereof we speak, But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He wasn't mindful of the angels to put them in charge of the kingdom. He put Christ in charge of the kingdom, and Christ put us in charge. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and I'll be with you all the way. And dear soul, he said, Timothy, this is so important. I'm coming to see you. But I don't know what's going to happen between point A and point B until I get there. So I'm going to write this in a letter. And thank God that he did, because I wouldn't have nothing to preach to you this morning if he hadn't written it down. But thanks be to God that Paul went ahead and wrote it down in a letter and told us, great is the mystery of godliness. Number one, God was manifest in the flesh. And then he was able to be seen of angels. And then he was... What's the next one? Preached unto the Gentiles. Then he was believed on in the world and received up to glory. So we see, dear soul, that God will have us to study these first two chapters of the book of Hebrews. It will give you an understanding with those things that I have tried, dear soul, to lay out for you today. Go back over these scriptures. Go back over these things that we have tried to show you, and especially when Lucifer became the devil, because there was no visibility of God, he said, I'll be like that. I'll step up. You be careful with people who want to give you an image of God and say, follow me. And I want you to understand this real quick. Because of Matthew 22:30, people say when we get to heaven, we're going to be an angel. That ain't what Matthew 22:30 says. It said, in marriage, you shall be like the angels in heaven, because they don't marry. It don't say you're going to be an angel. Dear soul, I don't want to be an angel. That's a demotion. They don't know anything about redemption and the blood of the Lamb and the kingdom of God like we do. So be careful. God bless you. I had to hurry to get all of it in. Thank the Lord for you. Continue to pray for us. In Christ, amen.